Once again, good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. Of course, welcome back to Freedom 106.5 FM, 3:30 on the nose in the nation's capital. And we're about to break words with Miss Dawn Patgrave, who is a licensed associate psychologist. And of course, Carlos V. Spencer, the CEO of Carlos V. Spencer Speaks, motivational speaker. And of course, these two guys have been joining me on numerous occasions as we chat and continue discussions as it relates to violence, especially when it affects children. Today we want to center on children and of course women as well. Good afternoon, guys. How are you all?
Good afternoon.
I'm well.
I feel like I'm back home.
Well, that's right. That's right. Once you're on the overdrive, you're home, you know? And I'm happy to have you guys back. I mean, we've been having these conversations that's been affecting society for so long. It has become a national crisis right now in Trinidad and Tobago. And it's almost as though we can't seem to get a handle on it. We are going to be talking about the impact of violence on children. Now, that statement alone, the impact of violence on children. Dawn, I want to start with you. What does that statement mean when someone reads that statement, the impact of violence on children?
Well, what we should read is what kind of adult are we creating from the impact of violence on children? Because everything that is happening to our children now is going to determine a couple of things. Number one, their attachment style, and then their attachment style is going to decide how they live in society and how they progress. So I think, and I'm so glad we're having this conversation following up last week's conversation, mm-hmm. because many times we think, oh, they're young and they won't remember. But I will repeat this, and you'll hear me repeat this every platform I get on. The brain is not fully developed until age 25. So when children are taken outside of norm, what a norm should be for a child, then that is definitely going to impact the adult that they become.
Carlos, what are your thoughts?
So I was having a conversation with somebody about this topic that we're going to have on the radio. And I told them the first thing that came to my mind was you don't hear it talked about the child. When you hear about domestic violence, when you hear about abuse, you often think about the person who's being abused. Sometimes you think about the person who's doing it. Why are they doing this? But you don't often hear the child talked about. My next thought goes into what happened to the person who's doing this abuse. The next part of it for me is when you have a child in this environment, unfortunately, they end up a lot of times, I'm sure Dawn can speak to this, mm-hmm. a lot of times they end up in that type of relationship, mm-hmm. whether they're being abused themselves or they're being the abuser, because this is what they witness in the home. So my heart goes out to those who've experienced this, but also I think this is a conversation we need to talk about so that we can help children who may have gone through this so that they don't end up being in an abused relationship themselves. So they don't end up being in a relationship where they're actually abusing somebody else. It doesn't need to be ignored. I think I'll go into this a little bit further as the show goes on. My father was abusive to my mom, and me and my brothers, I think, are still dealing with some of the effects of growing up in that type of environment because we didn't get the help that we needed. Many of us are going through therapy now as adults just to be better men. And we're finding out that there's a lot of abuse that we went through when we were a child. So I'm hoping that through this conversation, someone listening can get some help. Through this conversation, someone listening can be helped also, because yeah. it's necessary. The children, they need it. They need to be helped. And my heart goes out to any and everyone who's had to experience this type of situation.
I have a double thought on this conversation here. Of course, I want to invite you texters and callers at 625-2257 if there's a question or a suggestion or even a thought that you want to share as it relates to the violence on children. We'll take your calls and of course read your messages or play your voice notes. I hear you, Carlos, when you talk about, and of course, Dawn, you know, the type of adults that you're going to be when you grow up. I hear you when you say that most times they would often go into relationships where they themselves either accept abuse or become abusers because that's what they're seeing. I was looking at this show, Love is Blind, recently, and I listened to one of the cast members talk about their past and talk about growing up. And what I usually get from persons who have been around domestic abuse, especially like you, Carlos, from parents, they try and they strive to be different. So, are there any statistics to show us What is the ratio between those that follow down that trend and become abusers themselves or accept abuse as part of life? Or do we have more leaning on the side of, listen, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to break the stigma. I'm going to be determined, because we have children like that. They're going to tell you, listen, I see my dad abuse my mom or my stepdad hitting my mother. I grew up seeing that. She always had to be running by the neighbor. But I'm determined. You know, I'm not going to do that to my wife. I'm not going to allow a man to do me this. You know, what type of mindset do they have to have? And what is the ratio, if there's any stats at all, Dawn?
Yeah. All right. So I don't have the stats for that, but I do have some good stats that I want to give you regarding childhood trauma and how it affects adulthood. But I will say this, every child is born with a different level of tenacity. There's a story, I'm sure maybe you've heard it before, about twin boys who their father was an alcoholic. One of them became an alcoholic. And when he was asked the question, why are you an alcoholic? He said, well, because my father was an alcoholic. One, I think, became an attorney, very successful attorney. And he was asked, how come, why aren't you an alcoholic? And he said, because my father was an alcoholic. Mm. So one father, different levels of tenacity. So, you know, most of the time, though, persons become so hypervigilant and like attract like. So if they don't have that level of tenacity, and if they have not seen something different, chances are they're going to grow up and that is their norm. So if, let's say for a woman, if she has not seen something different to say that, wait, this is not, I don't have to live like this. I don't have to get this kind of life. If she doesn't see that, then she may get into a relationship with a nice, calm gentleman. And because he's not abusing her, she will self-sabotage, you know, subconsciously self-sabotage, because this is not norm. This is not the norm. This is not her norm, right? But we have what is called adverse childhood experiences, ACEs for short. And what it does, it's an assessment with 10 questions, but it covers abuse, it covers neglect, and it covers household dysfunction, right? And most of the time, as a matter of fact, in my practice, I find that most of my clients have at least 2 ACEs. Now, listen to this statistics. Adult with an ACE score of 4 or more are 1,220 times more likely to attempt suicide, 1,003% more likely to use injected drugs, 460% more likely to have depression, and 390% more likely to have lung disease. These are people who suffer from 4 or more ACEs. And here are some of the questions on the ACEs. Have you ever been physically abused? But they break it down a little bit more. Has somebody ever hit you? You know, have you been in a house, in a household where there is abuse, where you experience domestic violence? Have you ever had somebody 5 years older than you touch you, fondle you, have you do things to them? Have you lived with the abandonment of a parent, whether it's through death or divorce or just separation? You realize how many Caribbean folks already are checking, yes, 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 yes. And so when those things are not treated, we end up with adults who are depressed, they're anxious, they go into relationships either becoming the abuser or relationships that causes them to be abused. And this is why we have to move away from the myth that the children are young and this is not bothering them. Divorce is going to bother the children. You arguing and cussing and going on every night is going to bother the children. It is going to cause fear inside of them. It is going to rip them of their self-esteem, because most of the time children think that it is their fault and they grow up feeling that way. Just Saturday morning, I was working with a client and she's a people pleaser. And so we're digging up, where is that coming from? Tell me a little bit about the relationship with your mom. Tell me about the relationship with your dad. Her dad was never in her life, never. So let's cross that out, okay? So that's one ace already, okay? Number two, she says, my mom showed me love when I did something that was pleasing to her. But when I did something that was not pleasing to her, I get the licks and the kicks and the call names and so forth. So all her life, she grew up trying to please people just to get some form of love. So are these things going to affect us in adulthood? Absolutely, they're going to affect us.
Carlos, I don't want to get personal with you, but I have to on this because I look at you every time that we are on this show and I see a gentleman of strength. I see a character of upstanding citizenry. I see someone that I can listen to and be motivated by. You just admitted on national radio that you were a product of domestic abuse in terms of your parents. How were you able to, as Dawn alluded to, where finding the tenacity, the strength within you to really remove yourself mentally from that space? Because that type of abuse, I mean, they say boy children just cling to mommy and we love our moms. You know, it certainly would not have been a good experience to see someone beating up on your defenseless mother. How were you able to detach and now become that brilliant motivational person that you are today?
Well, for one, and I appreciate the question too, and for me to speak up and speak out about it, it's to encourage somebody else, right? A lot of love. I come from a family. My extended family was a really loving family. So I definitely say that that helped. So if someone is a relative or someone like this, it's not to say that you have all the answers, but I had uncles, I had aunts, I had grandparents, I had cousins. So we had a very loving environment that we were able to separate to. We would go to grandparents' house a lot, right? We would go to our cousin's house a lot. So we were able to go into other environments and grow up to see that there was other things, other experiences. So for me, a lot of it was knowing that there was more. And let me say this, my mom wasn't no pushover. Now I say that in the space of, it's interesting to see when you see somebody go through something like that, because my mom is not a woman that's like, you know, weak, brittle. Like there's some times my mom, she fought back, and there's some stories that a lot of us remember. So it wasn't abuse in the sense of just being beat on. It was just a rough environment. It was physical at times. But to answer your question, I have four brothers. So having brothers to grow up with, to talk with, to play with, and then having a loving family definitely helped, and a God-fearing family and a God-fearing lifestyle. I will say again, though, becoming an adult, there are things now that I see that I didn't see while I was growing up, because I didn't have the tools to be able to recognize it. So getting help now helps a lot. And knowing that it's okay and knowing that I can actually speak up about it helps. I won't say it's a perfect answer for the situation, but for me, definitely a loving family, definitely a relationship with God, and also getting older and getting the help that I need to help me through some trauma that I dealt with as a child.
What I want you to do very quickly is identify the feeling that children go through when they see their parents. I mean, Dawn can probably speak on it after, but seeing that you were witness to this firsthand, what does a child feel, a boy, a son, a daughter, what does a child feel when they see that type of violence being meted out right before their eyes at home as opposed to being on the streets?
You feel helpless. You feel helpless. You feel like there's nothing that you can do, especially as a child, to be able to cause this to stop. You feel like this is, dare I say, natural in the sense of, oh, wow, this is just what life is. So if that's your environment all the time, you don't think that a healthy environment is actually another option for an environment. So one, you feel helpless. Two, you feel like, oh, I guess this is just the way that life is. And I guess this is just the way that life is going to be. Three, for me personally, which I think some children do too, I shut down and I went into myself. I do not share a lot of emotions to this day because of that. Mm. I was a child that pulled my emotions on the inside. So I grew up in a generation where you did still get whoopings. I would never cry. My older brothers would say, if you cry, then mommy will stop. But I was a person who internally, I just, looking back at it, I was a person who shut all those feelings up. I was not an emotional person. And I got into relationships with other people where I didn't show a lot of emotions, because since I felt like I had no control, that was the control that I had. I can at least control my own emotions. And since that's the control I have, I'm going to not be as emotional. And part of that, I won't dive into it too far now. Maybe we'll get into it. Part of it was also me not showing that I needed much because my mother was going through so much. That's something I didn't recognize until my adult life. I made an internal decision to say, okay, mom, you don't need to do too much for me because you're already handling a lot. I'm going to be okay. You don't have to show me so much love and affection. I'm good. And I shut that down within myself because it was something that I could actually control, but it was something in the long run that definitely didn't help me.
Dawn?
Well, I hope all of Trinidad and Tobago is listening and the rest of the Caribbean even. Mm-hmm. Please excuse my dog outside crying. But, you know, all of the things that Carlos said, I can ditto from, you know, a clinical perspective, but also from my own experiences. Not only did I have that in my family, but I had to experience that in my marriage. And prior to my divorce, I know he has never put his hand on me, but other things that were done, because we need to understand that violence is not just physical. Domestic violence is not just physical. But I remember specifically one morning, I had a cup of coffee in my hand and he wanted to talk. And I was just like, can you just wait until I was done with devotion? And he wanted to talk then. And he took the cup of coffee from me and threw it on the ground. There was coffee everywhere. The glass that I had, I mean, splinter. And I remember thinking, oh my God, the children. And when I got away from that and run upstairs, I checked the boys' room. They weren't there. When I went into my daughter's room, all three children were on a twin bed and my daughter holding her brothers. My daughter is my eldest child. And I could see the fear in their eyes because they felt, or at least I thought they felt, they could not protect me. It's just the fear for their own lives because they didn't know what was going to happen next, right? And that's in a relationship. And I'm a grown woman at that time. I remember also with my parents in college, when I started studying psychology was when a lot of things were making sense to me. Every time a guy would start showing like he's really serious about me, I find a reason to break up with him. Because in my head, nope, I'm not going to allow no man to come put their hand on me. And you're just going to leave like my daddy left. And unconsciously, I did not recognize that those things were happening. And then I become a very masculine person because that was my way of defense. You are not going to get the time. So even if somebody just says something that sounded like any form of abuse to me, I'm running. I'm done. I'm out. I'm gone. You know, I will say this, though, that sometimes the experiences that we have had in life is what pushes us towards our purpose, because it's all of those experiences that push me to become a therapist. It is all of those experiences that push me to be in the space of men, because on one side, my dad and my ex are good people. Like, people love them. And for me, I was curious, how can a nice person on the other side do these terrible things? And that's what pushes me to study psychology and to get also into forensic. And so we need to understand that a sense of helplessness. So sometimes you find some women and they are now in abusive relationship and they feel helpless because that's what they saw, right? So now they feel like they themselves are helpless. The boys, most of the time, develop anger. And like Carlos said, some of them go within, right? Going within is just as bad as becoming angry because you can implode when you go within. And so I hope persons who are listening understand the impact that this is doing on the brain development of a child. I always felt like I was not worthy of an amazing relationship. Nobody's gonna truly love me. And even though I'm a therapist, I had to go through my own personal therapy sessions just to ensure that I got my own healing, right? So that I can become a better therapist. And I think I am as effective as I am now because of my experiences. So when I have clients that are dealing with these things, I can go to them with a lot of empathy, not just textbook and what textbook teaches.
And that's what I love about the two of you all. I mean, we only have a limited time to chat this afternoon, but I know next week for sure I will be speaking with Melissa. We have to continue this type of conversation with you all because it's so much. And what I appreciate about this interview today is the fact that it added a personal touch. You see, when you talk about being in the situation yourselves and not just treating with the situation textbook, that adds that extra value. It's almost as though you understand what the victim is going through, or even the aggressor. One of the impacts people don't realize that it has on kids when they witness these type of violence is obesity, heart disease, poor self-esteem. Now, somebody might say, how could obesity be part of it? But then, like Carlos, you go into this cocoon, into this shell. Carlos was one that became an introvert. He held his feelings in. There are some persons that eat their feelings away. You know, they snack, they go into it, and then they end up suffering from these things. You talk about heart diseases that comes on with it as well. Self-esteem, along with other medical problems. You know, it's not just psychological, but medically, they are at higher risk for health problems going forward in the future. You know, so leading into some advice very quickly as to on two things. One, advice for adults who are currently in abusive relationships and have children. And why I say this, recently, maybe a few hours ago, right here in Trinidad, there was a murder that took place in the eastern part of the country. The woman was there with her husband and five children, and these men broke in and They went in search of the man who went into hiding in one of the bedrooms, and they shot him multiple times, something like 19 times, and they took his life. But they came for him. Whatever reason, whatever he was involved in, they didn't come to rob the place or anything. They came for him, and there was a discussion among the murderers or the attackers as to don't harm the kids, five of them, and the mother. They didn't harm them. But that level of violence, in your humble and respected opinions, what would that trauma be like for those children?
Yeah, so first of all, let's talk about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So for a very long time, those children are going to have recurring memories of this, flashback, dreams. If they are not placed in therapy now, we're looking at devastation. We also need to ensure that those children are not just working with a psychologist, but also a psychiatrist, because that can create imbalance in brain development, which can lead to a lot of biological problems for those children. For the mother also, because now she needs to be strong for her children as well as she needs to be strong for herself. So first, I hope that they are getting the necessary help that they need right now. A lot of love, a lot of love, a lot of support, and definitely a safe space where they can express what they're going through, and with counselors that understand that. They may not want to talk, especially the children. I've had sessions with children that all I do, I sit on the floor and color with them. That's it. That's the entire session. After three sessions, they start talking. Allow them to get to that place, because you don't want to re-traumatize them. Just remember that right now they're in survival mode. That's it. This thing is still fresh. It's still happening. It's recurring in their mind. They're in survival mode. They not be at a space where they want to talk about this, because every time they talk about it, they are reliving the experience as though it just happened. So I really, really do hope that they are getting the help that they need in this moment. It's very sad. It's very, very, very sad.
Carlos, as a motivational speaker, have you ever come into contact with anyone very quickly on these levels? And if so, what are some of the feedback you would get from them?
I have, and some of the feedback is people definitely feel helpless. People definitely feel like they're not good enough. People definitely feel like they caused this to happen, or for some reason, they're responsible for it happening. So trying to speak to people, and again, like Dawn said, it's a process, so it's not a quick fix, but trying to speak people to at least encourage and help to build them up and to let them know it's not okay. It's not okay that it happened. It's not okay that it happened to you. You didn't cause this to happen to yourself. So trying to build them up to the best of my ability and let them know that you are important. You are more important than this. You're not what happened to you. Unfortunately, this did happen to you, but you are not what happened to you. And like the story that Dawn said, you can come out of this thing on top. And believe it or not, one day you can come out of this thing and help somebody else who's in this thing as well.
Guys, I want to say thank you very much. I'm really out of time. Today was a very tight one. I want to say thank you. And again, I am telling you all one time, putting your notice, if not next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, we will be revisiting these conversations again and continuing this talk, these timely reminders for our listeners. Thank you, guys, and have yourself a great one. Okay?
Thank you. You too, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.